This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. Back here on Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear, Trey Cruz along with you. Here's Alex Olive. The Top 4 at 4 is brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Alex?
Number 1 today, the story of the day. Tennessee names UCF's Danny White as their new athletics director to replace Philip Fulmer and begin the search for a head football coach.
Danny White, assuming the throne, no time to get settled, hit the ground running, hire a football coach. Bear, are we rushing? Yes. Are we panicking, though? That's the question.
I don't think so.
It just has to be done?
Yeah, I mean, if they had rushed and we'd ended up with, like, John Gilbert, nothing against him, or... you know, some kind of Google hire, I would have been panicked, but I felt like they figured out who they wanted, they targeted him, and did something that UT normally does, is went down there and made him an offer he couldn't refuse. And they've hired one of the hotter young ADs in the country.
All right. Time will tell. We'll see who this football coach is.
Number 2.
Yeah, I guess real quick, and I'm really excited. I'm more excited to see what he's going to do about the baseball situation. As crazy as that sounds.
What?
Baseball? Yeah, like I think with this guy.
Who cares about baseball? The football program's been Chernobyl'd, Bear. They're building a concrete dome over it. Listen, I love Tony Vitello. I want to go to the College World Series too, but it's freaking baseball, bro. I'm sorry. That was just my that's my
I mean, you're just that's my reaction. Horse's ass.
Oh,
I mean, you really are.
Oh, there's no need to call names. We can argue. We can disagree without being disagreeable. Please.
Yes, we can. I think you're coming in a little bit hot. Go on with number 2. I'm putting you on notice, Russ.
Baseball.
You're on notice.
Listen, I love Tony Vitello.
Can I finish?
Yes, it is, first of all. Second of
all. No, it's not. That's what got us where we're at now. We were worried about was, I'm going to get football fixed.
Yeah, and we didn't do it. It has nothing to do with baseball. I will go ahead and shut down the baseball program. And Tony and pay for Tony Vitello to move out of town. No offense, Coach. I love you. If it means our football program gets fixed and 99% of the audience agrees with me, and you know it, you agree with me, Bear. You would make that trade, too. Don't pretend like you wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I ride with Tony V.
Stop.
I'm just saying.
Now who's being a horse's ass?
You can multitask, Russ. If you'd shut up for a second.
Oh!
Golly, man.
Liar.
Quit jumping in halfway through me having a take or making a point, man.
Well, have a take that doesn't suck.
Yeah, let me get to the end of it before you start in with the end. Number 2.
Number 2. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Your takes are number 2.
Have announced they're hiring Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni to be the next head coach.
Wait, who?
Nick Sirianni.
Wait, is the coach of what?
The new Eagles head coach.
Really?
Yep.
Who the hell is Nick Sirianni?
He was the Colts OC.
Okay.
You know who that leaves on the board, though? Jerod Mayo.
Stop. Just stop.
Wasn't that everyone's thing? He's been interviewed for the Eagles job?
Yeah, I guess so. I have no idea who Sirianni – I will not even pretend – to offer a take on a guy, a name that I just heard when you just said it like 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, it was. It looks like it came down to him and Josh McDaniels. So,
poor Josh McDaniels, man.
Poor guy.
He's the hot name.
Wasn't he supposed to go there? No, he was supposed to go to the Colts.
The Colts.
Yeah, he backed out.
That's right.
The Browns. He was supposed to get that job a couple of times. He was up for the Titans job.
Yeah.
And it's funny how that works out once you pull the stunt he pulled.
What was that?
He agreed to go to the Colts, and then he backed out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Before signing the contract.
Yeah. Probably should have taken it.
What's that? Hindsight. My name's Russ. I've got a sports show.
Just cut his mic off. Cut his mic off.
You can't, not unless he wants to cut Trey, too.
All right, number three. This one, I saw it late last night, but Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner, has announced that he will end his tenure in June. The conference announced Wednesday night. Good for them, because he has been terrible.
I mean, he's a boob.
Yeah. That's just a hard gig. You know, Pac-12, with all the money that's out there now, and you can't start your football games until 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. You're just behind the eight ball to a degree. And then this year with COVID, with all the schools being located in California and states, first of all, California had a really hard time with it, is having a really hard time with it, more so than most states. But then the government shutting everything down and everything, it's somewhat beyond his control. But I would agree, he did not exactly rise to the occasion in his position this year.
Nope. That conference has kind of been down for a while, but
yeah.
Number four, a Newport County. This is a British soccer team. Their goalkeeper has broken the Guinness World Record for the longest goal in professional soccer.
Really?
He was performing a goal kick from his own 6-yard line, booted it all the way down the 111-yard field.
Pitch, Alex.
Pitch, I'm sorry.
It's the pitch.
The
Come
pitch.
On. Come on. You're going to be a professional on the drive. You got to know your sports. And it's not the 6-yard line either, okay? There's no yard lines. It's just the goal box, I think. I don't know what that's called.
I think it's the 6-yard line. Yeah, his own 6-yard box.
Okay.
Listen, there's only one type of football I know about.
He bombed one in. Tim Howard did that a couple of years ago, I think, for Everton. But it was a punt. Like, he punted it from like the penalty area, and it ended up going in a Premier League game. But that's impressive. That's impressive. What a strike. All right, there you have it. The top four at four, brought to you by Knoxville Smiles and Tennessee fans. With smiles on their faces, the Danny White hire being met with universal approval from Vol Nation so far. And when you're out there smiling, showing off your smile, you want to make sure it's in tip-top shape. You do what I do and go over to Knoxville Smiles and make sure you get your routine dental cleaning every 6 months. If you've got a tooth situation, something a little more invasive, maybe you need a tooth pulled, yanked, filled, whatever, they can do it all right there. Their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility on South Peters Road. Check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com or just call today. Tell them we sent you. They'd be glad to work with you to set up an appointment. 865-539-1776 is the number. It's 539-1776, and again, online at knoxvillesmiles.com.
I have an interesting, just something interesting about Lane Kiffin. I just want to put it out there since y'all were talking about it, whatever. The athletic director at Ole Miss did an interview 3 days ago with David Johnson, who covers Ole Miss for 247 Sports. And according to the vice chancellor for athletics, Keith Carter, he is not ready to announce the terms of Kiffin's new deal. We're going to find the appropriate time, and at some point we'll have the terms of the contract that will come out. We're just not quite ready to do that yet. Supposedly signed the extension on the 2nd, but not ready to release the terms and the buyout of that deal yet. Wonder if he signed that extension yet.
I mean, there's just no way, right? There's just no way. There's just no way. Right? There's just no way. Lane Kiffin coming back after he left us the way he did in the middle of the night on probation, the media screaming at each other, mattresses burning outside, great. Willie Matt Garza doing whatever he – I don't even remember. It's something about Lake Seastrunk and a recruiting service or like – the hostesses with the mostesses on the road. Ed Ogeron grabbing the compliance director by the lapels of his blazer.
Pulling him out of his loafers, literally.
Screaming at him in the face. Videotaping what? Practices illegally.
Have you never heard that, Trey?
No, I never heard SID out of his loafers.
Hitting what? Up the tanning bed on the day of your bowl game. Wrapping a Lexus around a tree after a night out at Roosters. There's
co-ed.
No way. There's oh, just no way. There's
sign
no way.
Me like, up.
I understand. I understand y'all want it. And I'm not going to pretend like there's a part of me that wants it too, if nothing more, just to watch the ensuing train wreck or lane wreck, if you will. Just there's no way. In realityville, not saying what would happen or should happen, just saying what will happen. And that will not happen, clearly. It will not happen, right?
No. I just felt like it was interesting just to put that out.
No.
I mean, it could happen.
No.
I would, man. If your crazy hot ex-girlfriend.
Oh, here
shows
we go
up,
again.
You go out with her.
Yeah, here we go again. All right, let's have fun with the crazy ex-girlfriend analogy. You came back that day and all your clothes were in a bonfire in the front lawn.
Right.
Tires slashed.
You have to sneak out because you don't really
you go to bed. You go in the house and she's in bed with your best friend. And you leave just in shame. Your life's turned upside down. It takes you
years. Nah, he can't come back.
He can't come back. No.
He can't.
You don't take that girl back.
But she was hot, though.
She was. I mean, it was good times, Alex. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
She took you places you've never been before. Showed you the world. But no. Of course not, right? No.
I mean, he's just so good on the... He does the crazy stuff that Tennessee fans love. You know? I mean, he's a clown. He's funny. He's funny as hell. That's the thing.
What do you want? Do you want a clown or do you want a winner?
Not you.
No. I'm telling you, you read between the lines what Sankey said. Who was he on with yesterday when he said that?
Clay Travis. Joel,
yeah. Hugh Freeze is not an option for Tennessee. I don't care who they are, just athletic director.
Well,
we can't thumb our nose at the NCAA when we're going to try and do everything we can to mitigate the damage that, Chernobyl did.
The only reason I brought up the Ole Miss stuff is somebody had sent that to me because I knew Keith Carter had done an interview and I just, I don't know. I'm not trying to start anything. I did find it interesting.
I'm not trying to start anything. I just keep bringing it up and seeing, if anybody wants to talk about it. Not saying anything. I just want to throw that out there. If you want to chew on it, go ahead. Chew on it. If not, it's okay. We'll just not talk about the super interesting topic that everybody else wants to talk about. We can just let it go and talk about something else. Yeah, it's up to you.
You think he could win a national championship here, Trey?
I'm
just throwing it out there.
You got to start winning the SEC East before you start worrying about national championships.
I think we ought to put a poll in the field, Russ. Let's go take the people.
No! Just stop. No. Just stop. You're out of control. Both of you. Both of you. This is a serious sports entertainment program.
That's true.
And we've got
I just received a communique from the mayor of Sono with an interesting point.
Boy, here we go. This should be good.
Chris Peterson is available.
It's true. It's true. Guy can
it's
coach,
not sexy
man.
Like Lane or Hugh.
Does it the right way.
No.
Not a Scientologist.
No, because you know what? I mean, the money situation's not going to be a big deal at Tennessee. I can promise you that with a head coach. After
the guy's a proven winner.
Over the last 24 hours, I can tell you money is not going to be anything that's holding up hiring a big-name head coach. It will not be. Period.
I mean, I know they got blown out, but he's made the playoffs. He's won it. You know, he built the Boise State program into a national, you know, have a national presence. He, you know, took Washington to heights that they hadn't seen in 30 years since the early 90s. We just never, is it because he's a West Coast guy that we never talk about him?
That and the fact that our job is kind of really bad, right? It's off. It's not or a guy who does have that resume could probably be at the top of any list for any coaching opening that he wanted to if a job came open, then you know.
But Trey just said it. Money's not going to be an object this time.
It's not an option.
It wasn't an object for Texas. It wasn't an object for Auburn. It's not going to be an object for Florida or Alabama the next time their job's coming open or USC or
– Yeah, but it's a fundamental shift from how we normally do things here. We pay on the back end, right. Not on the front end.
That's not true.
Yeah, no. Yes, it is.
We were paying Jeremy Pruitt $4 million a year.
And if he hadn't been like the most high school Harry cheater – allegedly, of all time, we would have voted him almost 13 for firing him for being horrible.
Okay, but don't tell me that they don't invest up front when you're paying a guy who's never been a head coach like before Alabama. $4 million a year. You're paying his offensive coordinator $1.5 million a year. His defensive coordinator, who'd never been a DC before, you're paying him $1 million a year just because you feel like it.
That's a
false narrative.
No.
Yes.
What you're spinning is a pile of crap, Russ. What is your deal today?
No, I'm just pointing out that the notion, and we've talked about this before.
Slick and fast, and you're going to tell
I'm not
me
talking
to hold
slick
on,
or fast. I'm just
and
telling
you ran
you
right over
facts.
The top of me again.
I'm just telling you.
The fact
you,
is, we don't pay on the front end. We hire bums and give them huge buyouts.
Who did we go cheap on?
We went cheap on Dooley. We went cheap on Butch. We went cheap on Pruitt.
That's not true. We tried to hire. Okay, go ahead.
Who did we try and hire?
We tried to hire Mike Gundy. We tried to hire Charlie Strong. We tried to hire Kyle Whittingham. When we hired Lane Kiffin, we were the first school to pay a coordinator $1 million in 2009. Nobody had ever done that before. We invest heavily in the facilities. We spend more on recruiting.
We'll agree to disagree.
No, you don't get to say that when I throw out these facts.
Yeah, I do.
Then back it up.
You're refusing to acknowledge the fact that they won't take that next step.
What's the next step?
You know, because there was going after like somebody huge. I'm not talking about paying some no-name $4 million. I'm talking about walking up to the bar and slapping down. Get in that $6 to $8 million range. You're going after a big one.
Okay.
I'll just be a middleman here and I'll repeat it. Those money factors, like Bear just said, will not be a problem in Tennessee. If they now they have to have the cojones to actually go out and spend the money. That is actually there for the taking to be spent. That's on Tennessee, and that is on their new athletic director, Dr. Danny White.
Dr. White. You're going to have to.
We've never pulled a Mal Moore, Russ, where we've gone and
you're gonna have
found
to.
The coach that.
This time. I mean, if you want to hire a big-name coach, you're going to have to open up the
you're
checkbook.
You're making my freaking point. Okay. They've never done
yes, we're
that.
we're in agreement. You're going to have to this time more so than ever.
I'm because just take the rest of the day off.
Please do. You're going to have to open up the checkbook this time because it's not like it was in 2017. It's not like it was in 2013 or 2010 or 2009. This is the lowest the job has ever looked at from prospective coaches. This is going to be difficult. And we don't even know the extent and the depths to which it go. And we might not know that for some time. Because we hired Jeremy Pruitt. And Philip Fulmer decided to give him a big raise right before the season. Let's get Connor in here next. Connor, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon, Russ. How are you, man?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Well, I can't complain. You know, that little sprinkle of sugar on my day of, Danny White rolling in here is making me feel a little bit nice, you know, not quite up to, full on throttle happiness level, but, you know, just casually, you know, a nice little head massage on the side for you, you know?
I like a good head massage on the side. It's right on the temples. Always feels good.
Hey, we had a conversation a while back. It was on one of the voluntary reaction shows, and we painted Lane Kiffin. It was that whole Lane Kiffin hot girl in Uptown metaphor. You remember that?
There have been so many of them, and they all just kind of run together at this point. But, yeah, vaguely.
I completely understand, yeah. So what if instead of that just being, you know, the overall period, end of story for it, what if that was just a small story or a small window into a larger story? Okay, follow me now. We're going to do a little story time. You meet this girl, freshman year at UT, you know, you meet her out one night, you're both wild and you're both drunk off your butt, you know.
Oh, dear.
You meet her and you guys have a night together, whatever. Crazy. You both don't know what you want, but you really know you liked her. You really know it. And she leaves you and, you know, goes and does her things and, you know, goes on. And you, in a perpetual state of just sadness, just fold. Fold like a house of cards. Start drinking every night. You start doing things you shouldn't be. You fall off the wagon. You date some girls that you should have no business going near, one of which was an absolute disaster, your most recent one. And eventually, you know, life goes by. 4 years go through the just go by, and you're sitting around April of your senior year on your, you know, front porch in the fort. You've gained a few pounds, you know, college 15. You're sitting there on your front porch, and it's a nice little sunny day. You know, there's a breeze blowing through the trees, and you know, there's laughter in the distance, and you're just sitting there on the front porch, and you turn, and guess who's walking down the street? She's right there, and she walks right up to your front porch, waves at you, comes up, gives you a big hug, and looks at you right in the eye, says, "I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm a different person now, and you are the only thing I want in life." That, Russ, is Lane Kiffin in Tennessee football. The story, the beautiful story of trials, tribulations, and an ultimate reunification of love.
Wow. Oh, that Connor, he just hung up on us after that. I mean, it really was a beautiful story, and you painted such a lovely picture there. There's only one problem, Connor. There's only one problem. In your scenario, when she comes back and she says and she apologizes to you, the person she's apologizing to is no longer that drunk, rowdy kid from freshman year of college, okay? You're a divorced father, you're a single dad with two crazy kids, and like one of them's about to go into rehab. You've lost your job. You're on food stamps right now. There's no prospects on the future. I mean, your life is – you got a beer belly. You're not even sure if you're ready for a relationship right now, Connor. But sure, jump back into bed with Lane Kiffin. Jump back into bed with the one that broke your heart. Oh, it's okay, Connor. I've changed. I'm sorry. I won't do that again. I'm a completely different person now. Yeah.
You're just not going to let anybody have any kind of fun or enjoy today at all. I mean, you're calling the cops on our party, Russ. Can you let us dream for one afternoon? No. No. Dream. We got to be miserable.
Dream on. Dream on.
Brian Stultz of USA Today joins the festivities when we continue next. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Hey, folks. Fan Run Radio. The Drive rages on. Russell Berry, Trey back with you. Pleased to be joined right now by Brian Stultz of The Auburn Wire, part of the USA Today Network. Good afternoon, Brian. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. How about you guys?
Well, we're in Knoxville. It's another Tennessee football coaching search. In other words, it's a day that ends in Y. Life is good.
Of course.
Well, Brian, you know, we talked to you, I think, a couple of months ago when the Hugh Freeze speculation was running rampant here in
Absolutely.
In Knoxville. And you had some interesting thoughts on Hugh Freeze. And I believe my major takeaway from our last conversation was that, according to and you said you, I guess you're close with Coach Freeze, and he had indicated to you that he had been given the go ahead from the SEC offices to return to coaching in the SEC. I guess my question is, is Tennessee, knowing what we know now about the NCAA investigating, is that even an option for the Vols?
I would think it would be. I mean, for Sankey and Freeze, they've kind of talked things out over the last, you know, 2 years, I would say, since he took the job at Liberty. And, you know, he's won there. And, you know, with all the negativity around, you know, Tennessee with the violations and stuff like that, maybe it's not the right time, but, I mean, why would you not bring him in? I mean, the media is not going to get any better. The coverage is not going to get any worse on the Tennessee. I mean, the last 3 months, if you hire Freeze, and then you're going to win. You're going to win. And, you know, he's taken this, you know, all respect to the players that play at Liberty. I mean, they're talented and stuff like that, but they shouldn't be winning 10, 11 games in a season. And beating the Coastal Carolina team, one of the best teams in the nation, you know, Power Five teams were last year. And, you know, just to not just give him a look would be crazy to me, just because he's so talented. How long does he have to pay for the sins he's committed, you know, 4 years ago? I mean, you know, we all do stupid things, and he did, and he's paid for it. And, you know, if UT usually look at him, somebody's going to hire him soon, and they're going to miss out.
No, I mean, I get the sense that Tennessee's probably not going to go down this road. And just, you know, my personal opinion is that, I mean, Hugh Freeze and Tennessee are match made in heaven. But
absolutely.
I just think about Tennessee's going under NCAA investigation for basically the same thing that cost him his job at Ole Miss, quite frankly. You know, you said it. Somebody's going to give him a second chance eventually. I think that's going to happen. If not this year, then here in the next couple of years. And how do you think that's going to go? Do you think a fan base is ready to welcome Hugh Freeze with open arms?
I think if any fan base is ready, I think it's Tennessee. I mean, they've been clamoring for him for, 6 months now. And, you know, he does come with baggage, but, you know, he wasn't given a show cause. Penalty that, you know, a lot of coaches are, you know, he's won wherever he's been. And, you know, the thing is, he's not going to make the same mistakes twice. So if he came in and, you know, won 5-6 games in his first year with the team on probation, I mean, that would be, I mean, heaven sent coach. I mean, not many coaches are going to want to take that job right now, I don't think. And, you know, for him, I think it'd be a great spot for him. He wants to get back in the SEC. Like I said, he's talked to Sankey, and they've worked things out, and, you know, he has the full welcome. And, I just think it would be a great hire. But I'm biased here, but you know, I think it'd be a great hire. I mean, I tried to get him at Auburn. You know, I wanted him in Auburn, but they went in a different direction, and you know, I'd love to see him get another chance in the SEC, and you know, prove that he's grown from what happened and do his thing, and that's just a win. Like he's done at Liberty.
Brian Stoltz with us this afternoon on The Drive, the Auburn Wire, part of the USA Today Sports Network. And when Hugh Freeze comes back to Power 5 conference football here in a couple of years, and again, I think we both agree that's going to happen soon. How has he changed? How will he be different? Obviously, hopefully he will not be engaging in a lot of the things that went wrong at Ole Miss. But other than that, he's older now, in his early 50s, I believe. What will a school be getting in the new and hopefully improved Hugh Freeze?
A guy that learned from everything that he went through. I mean, the guy's paid for he's paid a lot for what he did. I mean, he's owned up to it. And, you know, it's a different guy that I knew before, you know, when he was the coach at Ole Miss. I mean, he's talked about it openly, about his mistakes. He says he's promised not to commit them again. He's promised not to, you know, let a program get the best of them or boosters, which we all know that's kind of hard at an SEC school, but, you know, they're going to get a coach that's committed, who will do everything for his kids, put the kids first, and will do everything to keep that program clean because, you know, when he gets a chance, he's not going to blow it. And that's the thing that sticks with me is when he comes back and gets that second chance, you know, likely in the SEC, he's not going to do the things he did before. And, you know, he's going to do things the right way. I truly believe that. I'm a cynical guy, but, you know, I've got to know him very well over the last few years. And, you know, the way I see how he treats his kids, I treat his coaching staff, everything like that. He's going to bring a family atmosphere, and it's just going to be totally different from what happened at Ole Miss. And you know, I can't wait to see that because he's really, really, really earned it after all the fire he's been through.
Wow.
Hey, Brian, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us, buddy. And I wanted to talk Auburn just for a second to Kevin Steele, because you've been around that program now for a minute. When you look at what happened with Kevin Steele and Gus Malzahn over the last 2 years, and now you kind of look at Kevin Steele is at Tennessee now, and we don't know if he's actually going to be on staff much longer because we don't know what Danny White's going to do. For people that don't know, can you kind of give us a little bit of a brief tell on the Kevin Steele-Gus Malzahn relationship and how that went down over the last 2 years?
I mean, from all I know, and, you know, this is, you know, from sources and things like that, the relationship went clearly south the last 2 years. Kevin Steele was going to boosters and trying to throw a coup to get the head coaching job while, you know, Gus was on the hot seat. And you know, another name mentioned on the coaching staff with Kevin Steele, Rodney Gardner, was part of that coup as well. So it's really funny to me, Trey, is how just 3 months ago, Kevin Steele was this, you know, lovable guy at Auburn, put up some great defenses, and then we find out that he's just this, you know, I'm going to say a backstabber that really went after Malzahn and threw Malzahn under the bus, and, you know, Malzahn didn't need that at all because he was already on the hot seat, and I've been told they didn't talk for the last 2 years. Been told that, you know, Kevin Steele just, you know, was basically just aiming for his job. And, you know, if he sticks around, he's a great defensive mind. Rodney Gardner is one of the best recruiters in the game. I mean, if he's hired. But you also have to worry about, you know, the past 2 years with that history and, you know, his history as a head coach as well. I mean, I think he's 9-36 as a head coach, and that's basically the reason that he didn't get the coaching job at Auburn is because Auburn fans just went nuts, kind of like Vol Twitter did with Schiano, but at a lesser degree. And, I mean, I guess he was basically about to get the job, and, you know,
he got shot.
I would watch out for that guy. Yeah. He got his upcomings, I guess. So it'll be interesting to watch. But Tennessee, we'll see.
In your coverage of Auburn, and be real honest with me here, Kevin Steele, either interim coach for a year or a coach for 2 years if they tried to put something, whatever how it would turned out. Do you think he actually could have done something with the Tennessee roster, or was he somebody that Philip Fulmer brought in to be a safety net if things went downhill with Jeremy Pruitt like they did, I guess?
I think it's the latter. I think it's a safety net. Like the fact that he didn't bring him in as a defense coordinator, I think did they even name a position for him yet?
No, they did not. They haven't, no.
Okay, so I think it was more of a safety net, some kind of a bridge. I mean, I'd like to compare it to what Ole Miss did with Matt Luke, but Matt Luke kind of deserved that job and still doesn't. And, you know, I guess still, you know, a Tennessee guy, but I don't think he would do much more with the roster and all the violations and stuff like that than any other coach would be able to do.
Hey, last question, man, and I really appreciate you joining us, buddy. And when you look at Tennessee, how from everything that's gone down over the last, you know, few years and then now the last 2.5 months with this investigation and whatnot, how is Tennessee looked at right now? Is this a program you think, okay, they go out and they hire a successful athletic director today, which I think was
absolutely
a really good hire in Danny White. Do you think that Tennessee, if they can get through these sanctions, can at least start competing again for the SEC East if they hire the right football coach?
I don't see any reason why not. I mean, they have the tradition. They have the recruiting ground. I mean, they have plenty of, you know, name, powerhouses like the state of Georgia and, you know, schools, places like that for recruiting. And, I mean, Tennessee should be on. I mean, they should be competing. But they've made so many bad hires and, you know, everything's gone on. And, I mean, it's kind of like Auburn. If Auburn makes a bad hire, it's going to be awful. And, you know, we'll see what Harsin can do. But there's no way that Tennessee should be where it is right now. It's not going to be another Nebraska. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, maybe USC or something. But, you know, I think in the next 3-4 years, if they can finally get the right coach. I mean, I like the athletics director hire. But if they get the right coach and the right system in there, I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't be competing for the SEC East any longer.
Brian Stoltz, USA Today, with us here this afternoon. Brian, last thing, we'll let you out of here. You mentioned Brian Harsin getting the Auburn job. You're down there on the beat. And I saw where he just completed his staff, and he, you know, pretty much a complete turnover from Gus Malzahn's staff. What has the reception been like for Brian Harsin, and what are the expectations there surrounding the early part of his tenure at Auburn?
You know, I think a fresh air is kind of nice. I really don't know what the fan reaction has been yet, besides that he kept Cadillac Williams on staff. He brought back Zach Etheridge, and he brought back Tracy Rocker, three Auburn grades that are beloved by the fan base, can recruit. It's kind of a connection between the Harsin staff and the fan base, which was really, really important, I think, for him. I think really, really important for Auburn fans. I mean, I haven't seen enough of Harsin to know what kind of person he is, what kind of coach he is. I mean, obviously he won at Boise State. But to win an SEC is a whole different animal. And I think expectations are low going on into next year, but they also were for 2013 with Gus Malzahn, and it turned into a magical year. And, I mean, you know, I don't want to judge him by a press conference or by his coaching hires because he knows better than I do. I'm not a head football coach getting paid whatever he's getting paid. I don't even think the contract's come out yet, but, you know, I think it excites Auburn fans that it's a new era, but we'll hold out judgment for now.
What did in Gus Malzahn ultimately? Was it just time? Was it just he had been there 10 years or whatever it was, and they were ready for something new, and the specter of Nick Saban just is a shadow that, quite frankly, is going to be cast until the day he retires down there? What was his ultimate undoing?
It was the offense getting still. He came in as an offensive guru, you know, like he wrote a book. You know, I was very hard on Malzahn, and I actually got to play golf with him 2 weeks ago, and we had a great conversation about stuff, and, you know, he's a really great guy. It's just that his offense got still, and that's supposed to be his forte, and, you know, the quarterback, Bo Nix, has regressed under his watch, and Chad Morris was brought in as offense coordinator, and he didn't do anything, and just the annual thing of losing four games or more became too much of a bear, because, I mean, he beat Saban three times. I mean, no other coach has done that. So he has that hat he can hang, but that's basically the offense just getting stale.
He's a name that has been bandied about here in Knoxville for the opening, even before Pruitt was gone. Do you think he has anything left in the tank? Obviously, like you're saying, he'd have to evolve his offensive system. Because I agree, that's what, from the outside looking in, it's like, They just ran all over people when he first got there, and the game's changed. It's changed, Brian. You got to throw it now. You got to throw it. You got to go score fast. Do you think Gus Malzahn has anything left in the tank?
Absolutely. He's still young. I mean, I don't want to say he's already bored, but I think his wife let me know that when we played golf that he's already kind of shaking at the bit to get back on the coaching trail. But, you know, he still has that nice buyout that he can enjoy. I think he's going to enjoy having some time off. Wow. He's going to play more golf and enjoy time with his grandkids and see his kids more. But I think in a year or two, he'll be ready to get, because he's still only 54 years old, I think.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, he's still young for a coach. Yeah. And, you know, he'll probably learn from the experience at Auburn, like, you know, coaches do after they get fired, and hopefully he can get back to what he loves to do.
Hey, Brian, we really appreciate your time. If folks want to go find your work online, where should they look?
It is auburnwire.usatoday.com.
Very good. Brian Stultz, Auburn Wire, USA Today. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. Interesting stuff there on both Gus Malzahn, Hugh Freeze, and a number of other potential Tennessee football coaching candidates. And Kevin Steele, a lot to unpack there. We'll do it when we continue. It is The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive. Drive.
Are you packed?
We were rushing down that freeway, mess around and got lost. They didn't care, they were just dying to get off. And it was like in the fast lane. Sure to make you lose your mind.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. What? What, Alex?
I wanted to get a little Lane Kiffin theme music going in here.
Oh. Wow. That was a Hugh Freeze segment. You should have done something about freezing or a cold song.
I love you. Your hypocrisy knows no bounds, Smith. You crap all over our you know, us, you know, just wanting to maybe explore the idea of Kiff coming back a little bit. But you don't have any problem going all in on Hugh Freeze, who got ran out of the league for basically doing the same things that.
When did I go all in on Hugh Freeze? What are you talking about?
Oh, you're a Freeze backer. I see what you're doing here.
Yeah, I would.
I see what you're doing.
For the billionth time, yes, I would love Hugh Freeze would be my first choice. It's not going to happen. Which was, I mean, that's what we talked about with Brian. It's, I told him like. Yes, I think he deserves a second chance. He's going to get one. It's not going to be here at Tennessee. And I think the Kiffin stuff is interesting. It is fun to talk about. And I know the Kiffinistas out there think he'd come back here and all would be right in the world. But I just put it in the same thing as – and I understand he's talking – he still talks to the Haslams, and he wants to – what's the phrase he uses, Trey? He wants redemption or
– redemption. Redemption. Back on glass.
Like, yeah, he wants to make it right for what I get all that. I just and maybe it happens. I just don't see it. Now, the Chris Peterson stuff, that is interesting. That is very interesting.
I'm surprised you find that interesting.
If this Danny White guy could talk him into it, and I have no idea what he's doing right now, but that would – you talk about home run hires. I mean, I think we all are in agreement there. I mean, he's still young. I think mid-50s or something, dynamic, innovative offense guy, a reputation for doing it the right way and all that stuff, Power 5 experience, won championship. I think he won at least one Pac-12 championship at Washington, played in the Rose Bowl a couple times. They went to the playoff once, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah.
They got their brains beat out by Alabama, but they made it.
Everyone does, yeah. So.
No shame in that. Good stuff. Any other takeaways from Brian Stultz before we head back to the phones here?
Nah.
Very well, then. Let's get Andrew in here next. Hello, Andrew. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Russell, Bear, boys, how are we doing today?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks.
Better than we were 24 hours ago, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you're just riding the roller coaster of emotions that is being a Tennessee Vol fan. And hey, just be – you're on the peak right now, enjoying it, ready for the valleys, but you just hold on, man, and you hope you end up right at the beginning in a better place.
No kidding. No kidding. Russell, I got a little bone to pick with you. I know somewhere deep down there, you just want to scream, I want Lane Kiffin. I can hear it in your voice all afternoon talking about him. I can hear it.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about,
I want
Andrew?
Lane Kiffin back here just like every other Tennessee fan. That the last time we did anything of relevance was when we had him and we knocked off Georgia at home.
No, that's not true. See, this is what you Kiffin guys do. This is what you have a distorted sense of reality and a revisionist history. Lane Kiffin was here 1 year. What was his record, Andrew?
Well, let's see. What we go? 7-6.
7-6.
Lost to Virginia Tech in the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
So you say the last time we did anything of relevance, 7-6 with a win over Georgia and a loss to Chick-fil-A in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Okay. Butch Jones.
What's been more relevant, more recent, Russ? Going to the Outback Bowl,
yes,
and beating
yes,
the Kirk Ferentz
yes,
Iowa team?
Yes.
No.
Yes. You won 9 games twice under Butch. Not saying it was great, or that we shouldn't have fired him, but you had more wins. You won your bowl game. You beat Georgia. You did all the things you just said about Kiffin, and then some. Oh, and by the way, he didn't leave you on NCAA probation.
Now that's an interesting point, and that's fair. I'll concede that. I just, for one afternoon, I'd love for you to just jump on the Lane Kiffin, enjoy all of the rumors. It's just like the John Gruden rumors 3 years ago. Just fun to listen to. Hearing everybody get excited again about our football program that just won 3 games. We hadn't had anything good happen to us in a long time.
Yeah, I love Tennessee.
Well, you might be a little bit right, Andrew. There is, there is a small part. I'm not going to say it wouldn't be entertaining. It wouldn't be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, and you know this too. If I will admit that, you will have to admit that you know how that story ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say this about Kiffin. It does scare me. I'd love to have him back. That he was at FAU for 2 years. Think about leaving Ole Miss for 1 year. He was here for 1 year. You know, that is interesting. Here's a name, though, that I want to throw at you guys that I haven't heard much today. What about Matt Campbell? out at Iowa State.
Yeah.
I mean, my response would be he's a Big Ten guy, and unless something's changed, he comes with an incredibly high price tag just to get him out of that contract. I mean, at one point, wasn't it like 12 or 13 million?
It's a lot of money, but everybody's telling me now, oh, money's not an option. Andrew, thanks, man. We got to run. Stay with us. We will pick up on that when we continue. Open lines the rest of the way. 5 o'clock hour coming up. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.